Yeah, I'd say in the meantime, thank you to see a lot of friendly faces on here from like both having been a Reading fan for over 30 years and this week with some of the support and the help as well. And increasingly this week we've asked like other people outside like the core group to contribute contribute to the media interviews and to show their support in other ways, and a lot of people on this space already have stepped up for us, so that's mad appreciated. And I know emotionally it's a really difficult time at the moment, so it's yeah, it's appreciated. But seeing the fans come together like this has been seeing the fans come to life again, this has been genuinely moving. So while we've got a dark, horrible period at the moment, there's some silver lining, which is I don't think I've ever seen such collective togetherness from Reading fans who've been involved or have helped out and backed each other to the hilt. So thank you. It's been, yeah, a ray of sunshine in an otherwise shit situation.
Yeah, it's been fantastic. It is. It's been brilliant. The unity that's been shown, you know, from the fan base, it's been fantastic. So, yeah, for me as well, a massive thanks to everyone. I think we've got Paul here now.
Yep.
So I don't know who's driving it, but I think we're pretty much ready to go. So, Paul, are we going to do non-match day first? Do you outline the plan?
Yeah, let's start with non-match day ideas that we've got, because we've all seen, like, we've thoroughly been through everything that's happening on match day. We're kind of like, want to push some ideas to you, but first of all, if you've got one to join in the chat, please ask to be added, and one of us will add us, hopefully Adam or Greg will, like, you know, add you in, and then you can like speak and put out your ideas. If you've got anything, don't be shy, now is your chance to actually speak and kind of influence why how we're gonna push it as Cell Before We Die and actually kind of like hopefully make these things to go together. But you know, one of our main things is to make it as difficult as possible for Dai Young and embarrass him. We need to step it to places that he frequents or what is associated with him. You would say L'Ambassadors, and you would also say the Chinese embassy would be a possible target. We'd like to know your thoughts on that, whether you'd be interested in joining us. So please, you know, ask to be requested and join in, because we do want to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, we've already got one request, and it's from Jason. He's kind of gone off now. But anyone who has a request, then please do send in one, and we'll take your idea. We're going to focus more on kind of the non-match day stuff at the moment. So, you know, London stuff or basically anything else that you have, please do send in a request, and we'll be happy to hear your idea, however big or small it is. Yeah,
totally. Don't think any idea is too small, because it might spark some genius. That's what we desperately need right now, because don't be shy about it, because the situation is dire, as we'd all know. You know, I'm not breaking any news there, am I? So just come forward now. This is why we have this space, is for you to actually contribute and be part of this. And you know, I know all the fans come together on Saturday on the pitch, and that's absolutely fantastic, and that's brought massive media attention. But what is your ideas that aren't involved around that arena?
Yeah, I'm very, very looking forward to, or up for, a trip to London. I know that I should be the one that's listening tonight, but I am definitely up for a trip to London. I think that's a fantastic kind of opportunity for us, and allows us to kind of differentiate as well. And we've got our first request in from Tom Baker, and I will accept that now. And hopefully you're speaking. Good evening, and what's your idea?
Oh, hi, my name's Tom. Guys, first, thanks for all you're doing. It's amazing to watch slightly further away. I think all your ideas about doing stuff outside the casino is a great idea. Chinese embassy is a great idea. I guess on both of those, I think the way that we've been able to get loads of media coverage, like the Talk Sport, all the podcasts, that's like making the story even bigger. So I guess whatever we do outside those places, how do we make sure it's not just a protest, but it's a protest that really resonates and builds that media coverage? I guess the two other targets that I'm thinking a lot about are like the EFL itself. I know we talked about whether we do something outside the EFL HQ or some of their big sponsors, because we need to keep the pressure on them. And I guess as well, we shouldn't like forget local MPs and stuff like that. You know, there's a certain amount of pressure I think we can probably put through like parliamentary routes as well. So like, again, is there anything more we can do to make sure every single MP, candidate councillor in Reading and beyond is also like keeping the pressure on this as well. But yeah, I think we're all right behind you, and just thank you for what you're doing.
Thanks for those ideas, Tom. There's some really good ones there, and ones we can definitely work on. And everyone, if that's inspired anyone, you know, join as well. But thanks a lot for that, Tom.
I think I've just seen in the chat, Claire suggested empathy as well. And like, look, I think I'll put my cards on the table. I think that's my favourite one for all the reasons that Tom, outlined. I think it would get media coverage. I think it would, the thing that we've noticed with our pattern is when we do something that is more die focused and more personally targeted at him, all of a sudden we coincidentally get calls from the club, or the club make a statement, or something comes out. So just based on our own like analysis of when we have done action, it was after the Advan was parked outside of his casino, and it was after the parade around London where it seemed to jolt the club into talking to us. So I like that from an effectiveness point of view, and from what we know about his state of mind and the concept of faith in Chinese business, it could be a really great way of embarrassing to him. But I also just think it's another one of those options we've got which would unify the fan base. I mean, I don't think there's much divisive about targeting the one man that we think can target. And I think I've seen a lot of people, as I said, Claire in the chat as well, about this one. For me, it's a no-brainer. And you want to know something even better? 20-minute walk from Chinese Embassy to Las Ambassadors Casino. We could have a lovely stroll, little pub crawl, happy days and protest.
It all sounds great to me. I'm so in for that.
Yeah, I mean, you had my attention when you said pub crawl. We've got to the next person who's for questions, which is Andrew. Hopefully you'll be on in a second. And I think you're on. And what's your idea?
Hi there, was that for Andrew? Yeah. Hi, so it is actually something I DM'd you earlier in the week, and I absolutely agree, protesting at the Chinese embassy is a great idea. I think the whole idea of embarrassing Dai and trying to get the attention of the Chinese state may well have some impact. And what I suggested on my DM was, you've got quite a lot of contact with MPs and I guess now, to some extent, the Department for Culture, Media and Sport, is can you get an audience with the Chinese ambassador? Can you explain to the Chinese ambassador, potentially with an MP along, what Dai is doing to our football club, how that's embarrassing to the Chinese state, and you know how it's ruining that asset for our community?
Yeah. It'd be fantastic if we tried that, wouldn't it be, Greg? I mean, it would be a completely new angle.
I'm with you. I think we're at the point where we've got to try everything. I think it's something that we've spoken about. I actually think that probably the cleverest way of doing that would be to get our MPs who are supportive, so James Sutherland, Matt Rodder, Damien Green, maybe for them to reach out to Chinese counterparts and just push the question a little bit while we've got that favour. Look, as some of you know, that we had a chat with the EFL, and notes will be coming out of that really shortly today. But probably the most passionate advocate and the most extreme and most punchy was James Sunderland, who's the MP, who was probably one of our biggest advocates. And so I think that could be something we could do to lean on our political support to take it to China. Because, as I said earlier, I think we've seen that when the news hits Hong Kong press and when it hits Chinese press, we tend to see a reaction from the club. And I think, yeah, I think that's an angle that we should be looking to explore more often. And it's funny because right at the start of the campaign, we were sort of firmly determined that we wouldn't do too much Chinese targeting because we just don't want it to get into like a bit racist or to be targeting on that. But as long as we get the tone right and we're respectful and we point out that it's actually the disrespect of Dai Yong that's pointing us this way, not some xenophobic thing about the Chinese, I think we could be okay. And it's something that, yeah, we're willing to pursue.
Yeah, I think that's totally right. If we get it, yeah, definitely don't make it into xenophobic. And also, on the EFL meeting that we had today, hopefully we have the notes by the end of the week. So, anyone else wants to speak there, Adam?
Yeah, thank you, Andrew, so much for that. Yes, someone else does want to speak. The comments are going bananas, by the way. We'll try and keep up with them. But first to Unbid Emperor. I'll have you on now, and hopefully it's connecting. There you go. Once you unmute yourself, I think you're good to speak.
need to unmute yourself.
Yeah, unmute.
Sorry, two-parter. So do like a load of box pops. So like a load of interviews, like just self-interviews, like recording with your phone, like camera, whatever, saying how much the club means to you, just to drum up publicity. Because I think with campaigns like this, there is, oh yes, it's the fans backing it, but you don't see the fans, like you don't have the personal interaction with the fans, potentially. Like get loads of those and then like do a similar thing where we've got the screen going through London, and just have all of those like playing on. So like no audio particularly, but just have like, so you've got the faces of the Reading fans being shown. So you there's like an actual representation for it.
So there's like an emotional attachment that's actually real, and these are the people that would be losing their club.
Exactly.
I think that's maybe what the angle you're looking at. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's something that we could look at, Greg, isn't it? I mean, it's a possibility. I think Greg's busy sometimes.
Sorry. I've just that wasn't my daughter on that occasion. That was me just not knowing how to use the mute button. Yes, look, and like, look, one of the things we've been really lucky with is the support from people who know how to video edit really well, and Alex Everson's done a cracking job on, I think before the march we had in Reading, he pulled together a lovely emotional video, which I think really, really ties it up. And Matt has just suggested that, look, maybe getting something like that collage and montage to really sort of hit home, it's not just a football club with some nameless faces in it, but it's dads, grandparents, mums, daughters, who've all been coming to the game for generations. And like, look, I got a bit emotional on Saturday because I'm there with my old man. And it's tough, and it's like, it really hurts. And I think, like, look, I don't care how heartless a businessman you are or how ruthless you are, I'd like to think seeing that a football club is more than just a business, and it doesn't have normal stakeholders, it has fans and people that have attached a part of their identity to a football club, is really important to show those faces. And I think, I mean, I'm starting to lose faith with just how cold-hearted or resistant Di is when he's on the other side of the world, but a bit of added emotional energy isn't going to hurt.
Yeah, exactly. Have you got anything else you wanted to say there, Matt?
Yeah, so it's the slight issue with, if the EFL do freeze Di Young, reading into some of the rules around it, can he not just pass power onto his sister and then we're still in this situation, rather than him trying to, I know it's, the idea is to try and force a sale, but the EFL can't, but they can restrict him from being an owner, that he has to pass like ownership to somebody. So is the idea of, even if the EFL do step in, do block him, he can just transfer all the power to his sister and then we still have the issue?
Well, this is the problem, isn't it, with the situation of, even if he was disqualified. This very technical, that one, and it's probably, I mean, I understand why you want to know that, but I mean, it's difficult to go into that in all depth.
Yeah, no, 100%. I know that it's like a long-form speculation sort of thing. Yeah. I just thought it's worth addressing because I've seen on Twitter today, like, loads of people like, well, let's just try and push this through. And I don't think, I hate saying it, but I don't think it's the answer, because I don't think, like, the EFL have even admitted that they've tried to do what they can, and even if they do something, there's not a lot in it. Like, I hate the idea of not having Reading Football Club. Like, I've been going since I was like six, I'm 29 now. So it's mental for me to think that it wouldn't exist. I'm sure it does for plenty of other people.
I'm gonna answer this question as best I can without, look, we've agreed to share all of our notes and publish like separately with the EFL, so we need to respect that. And just for record, should be end of this week. It won't be as long as the famous notes to before Christmas, I promise that much, but we should be pretty quick on this. So what I'll do is I'll use something that is public and it's been written. I think it's in Business Insider, so you can go and check this out to what has been said. But like, you're right in that disqualification comes with risk, in that they could be disqualified and there's a 28-day bit to divest. But that doesn't necessarily mean that Di Younger would divest, and as you said, could pass it to his sister or could just leave it, right? Now, the EFL have said publicly in an article that's been published, so I feel comfortable talking about this, is that the suggestion is that if that were to happen, like, look, in a normal circumstance, that would affect the potential for investors. It would affect the standing of the club to such an extent that any normal rational person would then be like, right, I should sell because this is just going to hurt too much, sort of thing. What we don't have is any reliability on Dai being rational in that respect, because one of the biggest challenges we have is that we don't have a problem where Dai Young has spent not enough money, or started from a point of view where he was asset stripping the club from the start. He's plunged a lot of money into the club. So there's always a tricky bit there in terms of, well, look, he will argue that he's within his rights to try and get as much money back as humanly possible from that, having put so much money in there. The word we hear is that the market value is too high. The amount he's placing on the amount of value he's placing on the club is too high compared to what investors think it should be. And that's why we sort of got to this weird standoff place. But to your point, like, look, answering your point a bit more concisely, disqualification could be a fantastic thing to happen. It could be a complete disaster based on if Dai Young just completely ignored the EFL again, which, look, fines I don't think are ever going to deter him because he's a billionaire. But yeah, it's a possibility, mate. He could just sack it off, could just ignore it. But the logic of disqualification is it devalues the potential value of the club, which, if you're trying to sell a club, as he said, he's 100% committed to do, according to Dai Young Pang, then you wouldn't want to do that, and it could be a viable option. So we're having a look at it. We're talking to the EFL about it comfortably, and we'll see how we get on. But you're right to be a little bit nervous about it.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. Thank you both.
Cheers. Thank you.
Neil, I'll have you on just in a second, but there are plenty of comments here, especially related to Pang. Cameron says, can we target Pang? If Dai isn't in the country, surely Pang should be targeted. We could find where he goes and what interest he has. What do you think of that, boys?
Yeah, I think we should definitely be targeting Dai Young Pang. I think he's an absolutely critical person to be targeting. I think he's the most useless COO we've ever had, but we have to look at this as an effective campaign and who can we get to. And he's quite an easy target, isn't he? We obviously can't get to Dai Young. So, yeah, I 100% we think we should go in for that, Greg.
Yeah, big fan. Brad, sorry, mate. I've just also seen your comment in the comments that you suggested the Chinese embassy back in June. Yeah, sorry, we weren't so on it at that point. We're now much more on it. Apologies.
Yes, targets have changed, and the situation that we're hearing has got worse. Is there anyone else who's actually asked to join, Adam?
Yes, there are more people. Okay, so three first. I think Neil was the first one. Hopefully you'll be connecting in a second, and I think you're ready to speak when you unmute.
There we go, is that me? Yeah, someone's just actually jumped the gun there on me, but I was actually going to say, you know, Dai Young Pang seems to be, whether he's Dai Young's man on the ground, whether he's his mouthpiece, whether he's his confidant, that, you know, Dai Young Pang is apparently making decisions behind the backs of Mark Bowen, Ruben Sellers, other players and other people at the club. So I was going to say, you know, we're missing a trick here by not targeting him as well, because he seems to be doing things that are detrimental to the club, and that's also going to be detrimental to the selling process, surely. So whoever made the comment about targeting Dai Young Pang, yes, I totally agree, good idea. The other thing I'm thinking is, John Medeski has got a hell of a lot of contacts in a hell of a lot of different fields around the UK. He's got a room in the V&A, he's got, you know, places named after him. Surely Sir John has got some contacts here that he could influence to get us into front of the right people. And he could even be involved himself, because he was very passionate on the radio the other day, very passionate, and on Talk Sport as well. So I think I'm just thinking Dai Young Pang is a great way, but can we get Sir John involved?
We'd love to get Sir John involved. So far he has not wanted to get involved. Hopefully at some point, would you see his comments and his desperation for the club, you would think there must be a tipping point when he will kind of help us. But until that point comes, we can definitely try, can't we, Greg? So, I mean, he'd be a massive asset if we could get him on board.
No, I think early on, a lot of fans were a bit disappointed with Sir John early on when he was basically trying to, I mean, he was quite complimentary about Dai Young, right? But I think if you heard him on TalkSport this week, his tone has completely changed, and that reflects the graveness of the situation. I believe he referred to it as tyranny, that staff were unpaid, and that the amount of cost cutting that's going on the club is like it's a real slap in the face for a man who built the club so sustainably, to see it being run in the complete opposite ethos as he goes. We'll try and reach out again. I think it's important to note that as well, like, John Madejski's 82 years old now as well. So I think his energy for, I don't know how many 82-year-olds you know, but they tend not to be major activists, especially if they're multimillionaires who've made their business and earn their retirement. But I think he could certainly help with some intros. And we're aware he's been trying to do his bit to help find buyers for the club. But yeah, I don't put it this way. I don't think we'll have Sir John marching on the Chinese embassy with us. But I'd love to have a little gander at his contact book and see if there's anyone in there.
Oh, don't break my heart on that, Greg. I so want to see that.
I think he'd be up for the pub crawl bit.
Yeah, I think very, very valid point about SJM. You know, if only we could kind of roll back the years as well and get him involved for the full time. But there you go. Thank you, Neil, for your comments.
Cheers,
we're gonna get Ben Thomas up next, from the Tarlhurst End, and hopefully he'll be speaking now. Evening, Ben.
Hey there, mate, you're all right.
Yeah, not bad. What's your idea?
Well, I've got a couple, really. I mean, I think, you know, we've suggested Pang before, and I think that's a valid point, given the fact that he's suddenly come out and has started doing bits and pieces, really. Obviously, the fact that he went on TalkSport, albeit pre-recorded, shows to me that he's kind of quite apprehensive about the situation, and he's kind of, you know, he's been forced into this role now in terms of being the spokesman for the club, and he doesn't want to do that. So my thing would be, any kind of investment or businesses or anything that he's got, and if you anyone can do a quick Google search him and see all these kind of companies that are linked to him, you know, that might be a way to kind of target it. I think with the Chinese embassy, it's a little bit difficult because it's, you know, we're talking about a massive organisation here, and I know he's well known in that kind of, in that national sphere, but what kind of impact is that going to have, really? What links has he got, I guess, to the Chinese government and the people within the embassy physically in London? The point I would make about taking it to London, I think it's a really, really good idea, and I know there's a lot of people that have suggested this, you know, months ago, really. But if you look at Charlton Athletic, you know, when they went after Dutchler, I think that's how you say it, you know, they actually went to Belgium. Now, it's a bit of a stretch to ask our fans to go all the way to China, potentially. But in terms of March on London and actually taking sort of Reading out of Reading and taking it off our doorstep to a different locality, I think is a really, you know, potentially positive thing, because, you know, we want both of them out. We want the whole regime out of the club. Everyone would agree with that. So potentially looking at kind of where Pang is, what kind of, you know, fingers and pies he's got involved, could be a way around this in terms of kind of really going after him and getting him to put the pressure on Dai Young to kind of speed up this sale. I just get the impression from him, and, you know, I think it was Greg who said earlier that, you know, the meeting that you guys had with him before Christmas was as a direct result of you guys getting that kind of, that lorry or whatever you had sort of around London. So any pressure you put on Pang and any pressure you put on in terms of going to London and kind of taking the fight away from Reading so much, you know, it kind of stresses it even more. And any kind of businesses that you can, I'm not saying go after in terms of graffiti and lobbing bricks through windows and stuff, but, you know, that kind of element of actually trying to damage the economic, you know, stream that they do have is the thing that, to me, they kind of care about the most. So I think, you know, London is, and this will be the first time I ever say this in my life, but like, London is the one for this, I think, really.
What have you got against London, Ben?
Mate, honestly, like, I just always feel like, oh, London's amazing. It is, to a point, but honestly, me, every time I'm there, I can't wait to leave. I'm a Berkshire.
Mate, you're going to the wrong part. But I'll tell you. It's like, I tell you what, it's lovely around the Chinese embassy. But, mate, look, you and I agree on most things Reading and football related, and I agree on this. Like, I think where we can, if we can make Pang feel a bit more uncomfortable, happy days. where we can with younger. I think, like, look, everyone's talking from the same hymn sheet here. I think you make complete sense. I'm also going to, you mentioned Charlton going to Belgium. I mean, look, I would love us to go on an away trip to China, but I don't think it's going to happen. But to London, it definitely works. And to any of you who are history buffs in the football protest arena, it's Crystal Palace went big to central London, where they protested outside Lloyd's of London, who were involved in the administrative process. And I spoke to, it's quite a funny story, I won't name him because he told me this in confidence, but I spoke to a guy who used to work at Lloyd's, who said, like, that really did shake them up, because they were like, hang on, we've got football fans outside our office. This never happens. It made them feel uncomfortable. Helped the Maxi Jazz from Faithless was there as well, so they had a bit of star quality. But look, I think it's effective. And I think, as you say, it gives it a sense of occasion as well. And I just want to address, there was a comment in the chat, in the comments, from Picton Pedro, about making sure that, like, he makes a really good point that, look, there's loads of protests in central London, also outside embassies, that don't get coverage, that don't get that pickup coming through. I would say I agree with you, but they don't always come from football fans. And that's what makes this interesting, and that's what makes this newsworthy. And if you can trust us on anything, it's we know what makes news. And I promise you, football fans outside the Chinese embassy is so weird, or football fans outside Les Ambassadeurs is such a weird concept. It will create a bit of news. It's not Just Stop Oil outside. It's not a Free Palestine march, which you are used to seeing, and it does come around. You're not used to seeing a load of Berkshire boys up in town outside the Chinese embassy. And
the only other thing I was going to say to you, Greg, as well, is you talked about Maxi Jazz, but we got the Amazons, so let them pitch up outside the Chinese embassy and do a gig. How about that?
Oh, look, you're preaching to my PR soul here. I'd love it.
Yeah, I think you make a really good point there, Greg, about kind of switching up, really, and having football fans outside of a casino, which doesn't usually happen. But anyway, thanks a lot, Ben. I know you said that you had a big idea, and you certainly didn't disappoint. Next up is Christopher, and hopefully you can be added very soon. It's connecting, and once you unmute yourself, you can make your point.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, can hear you.
Hi there. I just want to say thanks to you guys for what you've actually started and set up and are doing at the moment. I think with the protests and the marches and everything, it's been great. Just off the bat, just wanted to put that across. I'd love to have been able to do more, but it's been great seeing the tennis balls are getting on the pitch and everything. I think that's worked brilliantly. And to see all the celebrities, all the big sort of football experts talking about it this week, has been quite emotional. But on regards to sort of off the pitch protests, I wasn't sure, you know, if you look at, say, like Companies House and stuff, and you've got Dai Young's sort of sister's, I think, like London address, you've got his address, is there not stuff that we could potentially do sort of outside over of those houses? Maybe that's where Dai Young is sort of staying while he's over here. Whether we can sort of send God knows what junk mail, do anything to them sort of places, not necessarily damaging those places, but something that will affect him directly, something that Dai might actually get to see and hear about, where it's his actual property.
I think anything that's going to affect his life is a positive right now for us, isn't it? I think we've got to be as in his face as possible, but also, in this sense, if you're taking it outside a match day, you've also got to do it legally as well, because otherwise you're going to end up in all types of trouble, aren't we? I mean, and for all of us, I mean, obviously what everyone else does is up to them, but we definitely wouldn't be endorsing anything that's actually going to cause any problems for us long term.
I don't think we need to.
No.
Like, I think everything we've done has been peaceful and well executed, and well, I say well executed, except for Sockgate, we forget and we throw that away.
Don't go there.
It's because the fans are being first. And sorry, Matt, I missed your name at the start, but like was it Christopher? It's like the last thing you need to do is fankers, mate. It's if you want to get your other half to hate you, start a protest group. Jesus Christ! Yeah. But it's our pleasure, because it's stressful and it's hard work, but yeah, we're happy to do it. And like, to be honest, it's got a hell of a lot easier recently, because we've got Reading fans stepping up and helping us all the way through. And it's been. As I said, I said right at the start, it's been one of the few positives to see a fan base come together like this. Just a bit annoying it had to be in such horrible circumstances.
Yeah, and I think everyone's come together to play their part, not just, you know, the group, just the whole fan base have been fantastic, and they've been responsible really for kind of the success of you know, the call. So yeah, well done to everyone, and thank you to Christopher. Next on is Mr. Collins. Hopefully you'll be on very shortly, and I think you're connected. What's your idea?
Hiya, cheers, thank you. Just to echo what Chris just said, fully appreciate all the work all of you have done. It's great to see the unity amongst the club as well, something which we've missed recently. My question was going to be, as well as going down to the Chinese embassy to protest, it'd be great if we Reading fans scattered about. So, for example, some of us were in the Chinese embassy, some of us were outside the EFL headquarters, because I feel like that would get more media attention. The second thing I'd like to say is, it's great to see some of these MPs involved, but one MP from Reading who's not been involved at all was Alok Sharma. And he came to the school that I work at the other day, and he said that China is the biggest threat in the 21st century. It'd be great to actually hold him to that and pressure him on that point. I'm not sure what contact you've had of Alok Sharma, but let's really pressure him in terms of the comment that he said there.
Yeah, bloody hell, what school do you work at where he's making those claims?
It's crazy.
Look, it's actually a really easy question on Alok Sharma. Is we've reached out to him. He knows absolutely nothing about football and therefore said he couldn't be much use. He was, however, really handy in pointing us with James and Matt Rodder and others, and has basically said he's happy for them to take a lead on it, and he will lend support to it. Mate, he was actually refreshingly honest. He just doesn't have a clue about football. And it comes through. The China thing is interesting. I've not heard him be hawkish on China before. Which, look, could help us just reevaluate some of the conversations we've had with the political contacts to see if that's a route we can tap into. But there's a really simple answer. We reached out to him and he just said, quite respectfully, I don't have a clue about football. And yeah, look, I don't have a clue about certain things, and so I leave them well alone. So I sort of say fair enough on that one.
Cool. Awesome. Cheers.
Thanks for that, mate. Any more people wanted to speak there, Adam?
Yeah, we've got next on, where's my jumper? Hopefully you'll be connecting very shortly. When you unmute yourself, you can make your point.
First of all, where's my jumper? Please tell me that's a kind of like credit to an old song there. I just want to know that.
Have you unmuted yourself yet? Not yet. We can move on to someone else now. You can remain as a speaker. We've got AJB as well. Hopefully you can speak. When you unmute yourself, you can speak.
Hello, can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you.
God. Even an old git like me can work the technology. First of all, I've got nothing but admiration for everything all you guys at SBWD have done. Yeah, these things just don't happen. And the time and effort and all the work that goes behind the scenes, I know from professional experience, goes unnoticed. And I just want to pay tribute to that. 3 points. One, and I was about 10 minutes late, so I probably missed the most important part, which is about the embassy. In my view, we need to rack up the focus on Dai in China and almost get to a point of embarrassing the Chinese government that they've got this crook and this criminal destroying 152 years of history in Britain. And it's interesting that Mike Gow, his tweets the last couple of days have seemed to very much indicate that, you know, there's and a couple in late this afternoon really seemed to indicate that it was almost beholden on the crook to put, you know, hold some responsibility towards what he needs to do and achieve with Reading Football Club. So I think Right, for those people, and I heard some comments about, well, I'm not sure what the Chinese embassy will do, and we should do this and we should do that. In my professional opinion, it's all about a photo op. And if we do it early enough and loud enough in central London, quickly enough to get that photo op, to beat the news round, to get in there early, and I think that will have some real traction, embarrassing the Chinese government. It will give us a great photo op, and that's what it's, you know, the news cycle works on photo ops and sound bites. And you know, there's been so many great sound bites. Damien Green this afternoon, or this morning at the DCMS Select Committee. So, you know, be really focused. And I don't think it would take that many of us to actually achieve that. And I'm quite prepared to go to and stand outside Portland Place with a properly organised protest that's all police, Met Police sanctioned to achieve that. I think that will actually have real impact, and it wouldn't take a whole number of people. It's not about numbers, it's about the opportunity and what that looks like in the media.
Yeah. Mr. Bone, firstly, thank you for calling in and for your kind comments. And again, couldn't agree with you more. Like you did miss the first 10 minutes where I can exclusively reveal the embassy is a really popular, everyone's back up for it. I think you're spot on about photo op versus thing. For the wider group listening, like we talk a lot about in PR about what we call need to go or need to show. And need to go basically means, do you need to go there and there be thousands of you to be impactful? Or do you just need a really, really good picture to make it? Now, with the embassy, I think Andrew's probably right. I think it's picture, but why not take lots of this to go through? The thing I want to be really clear, because I've seen a few of this in the comments. So just to address a couple of things. Firstly, yes, everything would be done properly with the police, well organised. Our very own Ellie Flood had to do all of this with the protest in Reading. It's a similar thing. It's a long process. It requires a lot of organisation. But if you do it officially, you're in much happier grounds.
Yeah.
We're also speaking to some proper experts, which will include Mike Gow tomorrow, about making sure we get that tone right for China. So it's not... Yeah. The other comment I've seen a few times is there a risk that Dai will just get bitter and twisted and out of spite drag the poem? Now, we can't really account for someone being that mean, that ill-spirited when there are millions and millions of pounds and lives at stake and all the rest of it. But it is a consideration. And the way we're going to mitigate against that consideration is to speak to proper Chinese cultural experts who can really advise us on how to get the tone right, to make sure we're respectfully disrespectful, if that makes sense. So leave that with us. Look, it's coming through loud and clear that the embassy, the casino is something that the fans want to pursue. I think that's going to be our next step. We're going to do it properly.
Fantastic. Two other points. And again, this is probably one to pick up with Mike Gow, because my Chinese international communications knowledge is relatively limited, is, you know, how do we get on Weibo and get this? You know, is it appropriate? Will the Chinese stamp it down? But I think that whole question around, you know, taking the battle to China, okay, as much as you would like a trip to Shanghai or Beijing, Greg, you know, Weibo is the platform. How do we get in there? And is it appropriate? And what do we say?
Yeah. Weibo is funny you mention it, because it's something that, truthfully, we just haven't got our heads around yet. Partly because it's of all the social media channels, Elm Park Royals doesn't have a massive presence on Weibo, but we're going to do our best to try and sort that out. Because you're right, for those who don't know, Weibo is basically the only social media channel that the Chinese don't feel, well, they still look at it really sharply, but it's the biggest one in China, basically. And if you get stuff pop off on there, it gets seen, might get taken down after a couple of hours, but it's a good place to target.
Excuse me, Greg, we are massive on Weibo.
In China.
Yeah.
And my third point, which is really sort of trying to look forward, is around, you know, absolutely, you know, all our focus has been till now to get the crook out of the club and to get him to sell it. But what is he selling? And how do we start talking up the investment proposition for Reading Football Club?
Andrew, again, another cracking question. Your 3 points have been especially pointy. Potential investors and building up the club and bigging up the club. So there's a couple of things going on there in terms of, look, start, speak to people, we come through. But look, if we're dealing in short, mid-term and long-term targets, at the moment we're in the short and mid-term, and I think in mid-term it's like, look, we did a bit of work early doors about, I've just got to tread a bit carefully because we're a little bit NDA'd on a couple of these things.
I think we might be back. Not sure for how long, but we're back. I'll let others join. Right, okay, I'll add Paul to this. Apologies, everyone. I think it's my Wi-Fi, which is not ideal. I'll invite Greg as well. Trying to remember his username. There he is. Once they're back, we'll get going. Good for that, hopefully. That's the last of my issues. But, there we are. Right. Are we back?
I promise that wasn't because we started mentioning the Chinese government, right?
Yeah, well, I'm hoping so. I think it was just my terrible, terrible Wi-Fi. Let's just hope. We're back now. I don't know how long this is going to last for, but hopefully we're back now. We'll get straight on again with MHH, who should have been speaking last time. I don't know if he spoke. But once you're unmuted, you can make your point or continue your point.
You're on mute, mate.
Oh, cheers. Sorry, I disconnected for a moment, so I'm back up. Great. First off, you guys are doing an amazing job, so thank you for everything you're doing. I just wanted to build on the Chinese point and completely agree with the last speaker around the positioning in the media. Not doing some research and due diligence around that, but also I think politically as well. So whether we've spoken to and getting advice from the UK politicians around engaging with the Chinese political system as well, the UK embassy in China, etc. I think that's going to be quite important, so that when we do it, it's understood how we're doing it and culturally positioned well. The second area was also the investment, and the call dropped when the previous speaker was talking. I completely agree. It's great to hear there's a program looking at sort of investment as well. The third area is around changing of regulations. This is not going to help us in the short term, but I think it's great that the council focused on the amendment of regulations and the independent regulator in due course. I'm just wondering.
Hang on a second. Right, I'll wait right back. Can you hear me? Are we back?
I can hear you, Adam. Listen,
okay,
still there. MHH.
Are you still here?
Yeah, MHH is still there, just needs to unmute.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah. Sorry, mate. The last thing we heard, I believe, was you've been doing some research.
No. I guess there's a couple of points. The first one is the Chinese point. And agree with what you were discussing earlier about the media positioning and talking to people who can advise us on that. The second bit related to that is the political angle and understanding how these types of campaigns will be effective politically in China. So I was wondering whether we've spoken to people who can help us with that, or with the embassy in China, the UK embassy in China. So that's the first one.
I'll answer that quickly. Touched on it a little bit earlier. I think one thing we're going to do, we had this suggested a couple of times, and it's a really smart shout. I think we're going to reach out to our political contacts to do that on our behalf. And I think that will help coming through. Because, look, we've got good expertise in this group, but it doesn't extend as far as, like, the Chinese press and the Chinese political groups. So we need to just make sure that we've got that. We need to just make sure we've got our knowledge on the way out.
Yeah, completely agree. Second area, and sorry, the call broke, was around investment. And I heard you talking a little bit about that, but it's good to hear that that process is continuing. And last but not least is new regulations, which we all know is going to take time. I know there's been a lot of engagement with EFL, DCMS a bit. I'm just wondering about the FA.
Again, cracking point, mate. It's something that is becoming increasingly important. I think we'll need to speak to the FA about. What we're struggling to understand a little bit, and is getting more and more helpful. Where the EFL jurisdiction ends and where the FA's begins, and where I think the FA could be particularly helpful is, and sorry if my dad's listening, I've shamelessly nicked this from him, is that the English FA could be very good at speaking to the Chinese FA, and that could help start pointing out a few things that would go in. But we think mainly it's tricky to know where it begins. But look, I'm very happy to reach out to the FA and start that conversation. It's another great shout. At the moment, we want to put some faith into the EFL and trust with the EFL, who are helping. But we're not afraid to go to the FA and see if we can open up, because I think the FA especially could help with the international side of things.
Thank you. Thanks for everything.
Oh, don't be out. You don't need to thank us, mate. Thank you.
No, thank you very much. Next. Okay, I think we still might be having difficulties. Can you still hear me, Greg?
I can hear you loud and clear, mate.
Okay, yeah. Other people can't hear, I don't think. Let us know in the comments if you can hear or not. And if you can't, right? I don't think anyone's hearing the.
I think I've got Richard. We might need to just restart because MHH could hear us. Chris has just requested. Richard has requested.
Okay, I'll end this and then we'll come back. Hopefully it'll be okay. I've got
two requests. Can we just get? Can someone just say in the comments if you can hear us or not?
Yeah. Oh, Matt Lansley can hear us fine. Can people hear us now?
Okay, fine. Let's try and move on. We've got let me see if I can tap Richard in and we'll speak to him. Richie, get your big boy pants and get off mute. Rich, off mute, mate.
Yep.
There you go.
No. Apologies. So, no, thank you, Jack. I'd just like to say, to start by saying, as Chris did, thank you very much for everything you've done so far. I didn't think that your actions on Saturday would achieve as much as they did, and I've been, overwhelmed really with what's happened since. But just listening to some of the thoughts on the call from some of the people earlier, and I think the issue, as I've always seen it, is this is a private company. And as much as we're trying our hardest to get him to sell it, it's still his, right? It's his asset, and there's little that we theoretically could do. But I think that some of the comments and recommendations that I could agree with that have been discussed this evening have been the ones around the people that might have the control to be able to do something. So the embassies, I think, isn't a bad idea. And you know, I think you said being respectfully disrespectful, which I think is important. But equally, I think putting pressure onto bodies like the EFL, onto the English government, you know, the people that set these regulations and the people that have the control theoretically to try and do something is the right way to do it. There was one suggestion earlier about potentially targeting family members of the owners or the chief exec. It doesn't really sit very well with me, and I don't think it achieves what we're after. I think what we're asking for here is almost like a law change to try and have something happen, and the comments today from Dang and others are just inert, really. And I think the only way that we really make effective change is to try and almost become a nuisance to the bodies that do have those abilities to change laws, regulations. You know, thinking about Abramovich for Chelsea with the Russians, you know, that was extremely difficult, different, because that was a global policy that people were enacting across the world. But that's the sort of thing that you need to do, I would suggest, to arrest a private company and take assets away from someone or force a sale.
I'm not going to invade the Ukraine, Richard.
No, I don't think we need to do that. I think the Select Darlington Stadium pitch was enough. But you see what I'm saying. I think there's a lot of really good recommendations, and the passion and the support from all the fans is incredible. But I think annoying the people that might be able to make some of the changes, like the EFL, like the English government, I think is the right way forward. I'm not sure what we're going to achieve by irritating the Chinese government. I think one of the callers said at a school, I'd still love to know which one it was, but at the school, about how the Chinese are crooks. I don't think highlighting that they've got one in their ranks and he owns an English football club is going to either embarrass them or cause them to change tact. But I think could embarrass the EFL and embarrass the English government enough that they might do something.
No, mate, I'm with you. I think that everything you said again makes complete sense, and you're on the same page as we are. We're trying to press the buttons that work. As you said, we spoke to the EFL, and the EFL, like, look, you've seen the output the EFL have done today. They've been their words are strong, right? And their willing is there. Like they dislike him as much as we do. It's becoming increasingly clear, which is great, because it means we've got powerful on the side. But you've touched on it earlier. It's like we are a private limited company, and that means there are limits on forcibly enforcing sales, right? So the options we have available to us are put pressure on the owners to come through. There's a couple of other options that we'll speak about in a couple of days, and we intend to do that by being a bit more personal towards Dai Onga, towards Dai Yong Pang, and doing it that way, because we think that's where, every time we've done something a bit more like that, that's when we've been reached out to, that's when people have spoken to us, and the club have reached out to us. So we're on the same page. And thank you for saying what we think. I think we're getting towards the consensus tonight that this is the way to go. And so thank you,
Norris.
Thank you very much. Okay, we did have one request, but it's no longer there. I'm aware that people are still having technical issues. Greg, there was another theme, really, along with Pang, was Dai's sister. You know, is there anything in that, in kind of not targeting, but also, you know, having a deeper look into Dai Zhuli?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's interesting. We've not really touched it before. And I don't know if people have been aware of it or have checked in, but there does seem to be some chat that she seems to be the reasonable one, if that makes sense. And like, look, we can explore it. We know that she was sort of settled here herself, and like, why not, right? She's listed as a director of the company, or when it was first taken over, she was especially prominent. But more than anything, it'd be great to know what's going on in the thought process and go that way. And like, look, there are ways that we could reach out and have a go. Anyone who's listening who wants a little insight into the inner workings of the group, I'm obsessed with getting a private detective to have a little snoop around and to find the connecting lines, so we know that we can actually get a sense of what the business strategy is. But yeah, it's tricky. I'm hearing then I'm hearing that people aren't hearing this, but there's a good amount of people that seem to be who can hear us loud and clear and a couple that can't. Little recommendation, if you feel like you could hear and now you can't, just close and start again, because apparently the apps are coming through. I've got another request from Mr. Bone. I'll bring him in while we're waiting to see if the technology is going to help us.
Perfect. Once you've unmuted yourself, you can speak. Hopefully you can hear us.
Mr. Bone?
Oh, yes. Great. Excellent. You're back.
There we go.
So look, just to wrap up, really, those were my 3 points. One about the embassy, photo op, you know, in terms of scale, it's probably not massive, but I think the impact will be profound and raise it to another level. And as you said, Greg, it's unusuality. That's not the right word, but you know what I mean. It's a story in itself. And I think that's what we need to keep the conversation going. Wybo, I see Mike Gow's on the call. Defer to him on how best and to do that in the most appropriate fashion to keep cultural sensitivities on the right side of the fence, if you like. And then the point I was just trying to make lastly about investment proposition and how we can ratchet that up, because while it's all about getting rid of dye, actually it's more important to find a new belly buyer that is going to see value in it. And you know, and then we get into all the conversations around administration versus liquidation, and to me administration now is far preferable to liquidation later, or even administration next season. So trying to make that, and Kaz, I think, was trying to make the point on TalkSport today, and Simon Jordan, I think, agreed with her that, you know, we need to move towards administration as quickly as possible if that's the outcome of all this. And I rather think it is. And it's better that it's this season than next season.
Yeah, it's administration for me just carries. It's funny. It's becoming an increasingly less dirty. It's becoming an increasingly less dirty word. It comes with a horrible sporting penalty, which is 12 points off. So, if Ruben could get us 13 points clear at the end of this season, that would be especially appreciated. But it's I started this process, and I think I'm not the only one who didn't know an awful lot about the finances of football, but administration isn't as dirty a word as you think it is from a pure football fan point of view. It has the sporting penalty, but what it does mean is that we could start it's all of a sudden you're a much more attractive buying proposition when you can be bought for a quid rather than an excessive valuation, which is what we're hearing investors are being given at the moment. I'm a glass half full type. I'm of the view that maybe hoping upon hope that they will see the light, evaluation, an offer will come in that means we don't have to do administration and everything works out shiny. But we do need to start looking at what administration means. I will say, to finish positively, one of my good mates is a chap called Ed Mallion, who used to edit The Athletic and come through that way. But more pertinently for this point, he's a massive Crystal Palace fan, and he's told me on several occasions administration was the best thing that happened to that club when they were going through a horrible time, and it helped them rebuild and it brought Steve Parish into the club. And I think you can look at someone like Crystal Palace as a real good news story that we would like to follow, as a club that looked like it was in deep, deep trouble and rose from the embers. And if you speak to a lot of Crystal Palace fans of that era, they say the administration was a real blessing, and it started off in disguise and then it really was a proper blessing.
Absolutely agree with that. Two other tiny housekeeping points, really, Greg. As a PR pro, you'll know, I'm sure you've got a list of everybody who's on this call and who's listening, and whether they're journos or EFL or any other executive body or even any potential government listeners. Have you got a roll call?
I'm going to leave Adam the administrator to go through that. I'm going through now you've said it, I'm going through the members now, and all I see are a fine, handsome men and women of Reading quality, and we'll go through. But we'll make sure we've got a full roll call, and if anyone has heard, we'll come through.
And the other point was that somebody earlier mentioned Alok Sharma. Bless him. He's actually my MP for the what it's worth in West Berks, West Reading, and he's on his way out anyway. We know where he lives in Caversham, but it's interesting what he said about China being an ally in the global fight for renewables, and you know, if he's prepared to stick up for that. And I think some pressure on Matt and Damien Green, who I thought was absolutely brilliant today, you know, James Sunderland, to try and get him involved. I think the more MPs involved, the better. There's also the APPG, the parliamentary groups on special interests, and there's a number on football that, if you haven't already looked at, we should really dig into them. I did quite an extensive amount of work, as you might imagine, a couple of years ago when a Premier League club was being bought, and I've got quite a bit of insight on the APPG groups.
Nice, mate. We'll be in touch and we'll tap into some of our expertise. It sounds like it'd be massively helpful. So thank you, Andrew. And I'll see you soon, I'm sure.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you very much. I'll just finish off with a couple of ideas that have been just sent in via message. Helen says, mass walkout at a home game, ideally on a day when Sky has someone at the ground. A town hall style gathering with guest speakers, including SJM. And can we get former players involved? I mean, number three is something that we looked at doing during the early stages of the campaign. I think that's something that we can definitely look to revisit. So thank you for those. I think there'll be more attention shown by boycott by Sky Sports. Now, personally, think boycott until the 16th minute at home, which is another good idea. Caroline will like this. Everyone needs to be dressed as clowns with dye masks. That's been an idea that's gone around the group as well. And yeah, I think we've got some fantastic ideas here. Yeah. Just a shame that not everyone's been able to hear what we've been doing. But go ahead.
I was going to say, protest ideas part one was an absolute blinding list. And protest ideas part two sounds like it's had more interceptions than a Reading attack in the first in the first half of this season anyway.
Yeah. But it's like a film series that's gone on for one film too long, I think.
Yeah, the tricky second album and the dodgy sequel. But like, look, I just to echo Adam's point, it's like, look, it's I've actually just got a bit emotional there. It's a really tough time to be a Reading fan, right? But if we keep unified like this, we're gonna be all right. And really nice point was made today, actually. And bizarrely, the lovely point made by Simon Jordan, who pointed out that not an awful lot of clubs get fully liquidated, which I just want to use that as a sign. It's like, even when they've gone to the right bottom, they've come back, there's been embers. Wimbledon went down to the very birth, came back. You've got clubs like Southend who've just got new owners. There are positives. Palace went to the brink. Even though you forget that Leeds United went to the brink and they came back. It's like, we might need to go to the brink, but for as long as we keep this going, we should be okay, and there's enough there. But thank you for all your suggestions. I thought they were world class, and I expect nothing less from Reading fans at the moment. So thank you.
Yep. Perfect. Thank you very much to Greg and to everyone who's been able to submit an idea. Apologies for the technical issues. Hopefully you can listen to this back. Who knows? But I guess the second part of this space has gone like Reading season so far, really. Thank you to everyone. And this is recorded, so perfect. Hopefully people can listen back. And good night, everyone.